It's time to get empowered and realize your true beauty with tips, breakthroughs, and secrets of the industry. And now, here's your host, your personal beauty guru, David Pollack.
As the country freezes all across, there's very few of us that get to live where it's beautiful out and nice and warm. And you got to think, what kind of problems could we really have living in Florida? But today we're going to talk about the Florida beauty problems, not just how it affects us, but how some of it can even help you, and actually delve into a little bit more than that. Today's guest is Dana Wood. She's a three-time Condé Nast beauty director, has written for numerous national publications, contributes frequently to the New Post and the Wall Street Journal. And so, Dana, I want to drill down and well, first, thank you for joining us. But I'm excited. I'm stuttering here because I want to ask, when you do all these things, how do you come up with ideas for stories?
Well, for one thing, I've been doing this an extremely long time, like 25 plus years. So I know when something crosses my desk that is genuinely new. And so we also have this kind of thing in beauty editorial, which is three's a trend. So once you start seeing like a couple of products in a specific category with a specific theme, you know that you can kind of run with it and build a story around it. Plus, I just have a lot of contacts too, on, you know, in all aspects of the business, dermatologists and product formulators like yourself and makeup artists. I just, you know, I know a lot of people, so I can pull stories together really quickly.
Okay,
plus, it's really fun for me.
Did Florida become one of those trends, all the beauty problems, after you moved down to Florida?
So when I moved to Florida, to St. Pete from New York a few years ago, I started noticing all these like specific beauty problems that I was having. And then, you know, like massive frizz and bug bites and, you know, tan lines. I mean, they're crazy first world problems. They're not real problems, but they were bugging me all the same. And I reconnected with a great friend of mine from in New York, who'd also moved down to Florida as well, Diana Biederman. She's in Naples, and she's on the publishing side of the business. We were just talking about all these issues that we were having, and voila, we launched a blog about a year ago. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, I love the name, Florida Beauty Problems, because it is something the rest of the country may not be able to relate to, but Florida, we're already always making the crazy news. But, you know, it just intrigues me with all you've accomplished and how you come up with stories. And, you know, as you do some of the pieces, I mean, how do you research it? And how do you, you know, what do you learn from all these things? And what can you share with us? Because I just think it's amazing. Every time I opened a magazine, I'm like, how did they come up with that? It just seems so obvious. I should have. And I just think, wow.
Well, I can also tell you that a big part of what we're doing for FloridaBeautyProblems.com is celebrating local, you know, craftsmen of beauty lines here, because there are several, like the Naples Soap Company and Bodhi Basics, which is based here in St. Pete. You know, so I really want to shine a spotlight on those guys for sure, because there's a lot of great little beauty brands coming out of Florida that nobody really knows about yet. But in terms of coming up with ideas, I mean, I just, you know, I'm ashamed to say I have like 27,000 emails in my Gmail inbox. It's crazy. I'm just getting pelted with info all the time. There's just no shortage of ideas, but you just have to, are they really sound? Like if I'm pitching something to the Wall Street Journal, it has to be super bulletproof, and it can't just be some like cute thing that I'm thinking about, because, you know, they come from a more skeptical place in terms of beauty. But I also write for Alexa, which is the New York Post luxury style
yes.
section. And they're a lot more about fun and just trends and just really pretty stuff. So it depends on the publication I'm targeting.
With some of the indie stuff, and some of the different things, one of the trends you've talked about is how flowers help fight wrinkles. Now, I know I know giving flowers to my wife helps get rid of the stress wrinkles I might have.
True.
But in a product.
That was a story that I pitched to the New York Post, to Alexa, because I'd seen more and more products like popping up that had flower ingredients in them. But the thing about the whole floral thing is you can't just like go out in your backyard and pick a bunch of dandelions throw them in a pot and boil them, and voila, you have this amazing anti-aging product. I mean, there are only like six flowers that are really super helpful in terms of skincare. And even within those, like rose, for instance, you've got to really drill down to like the stem cells in a rose flower before you're going to get any kind of like anti-aging impact from that. I mean, sure, you could use rose water as a lovely toner, and mm-hmm. it's great if you have, you know, to soothe the sunburn or something. But in order to get actual anti-aging effects from a flower, you really have to know what you're doing. And I think there are really only a few brands that are doing really good work in that space, like Peter Thomas Roth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Peter Thomas Roth, I love him, and he has a great brand. But I got to ask you, you know, as I'm asking how you come up with stories, flowers is one I got to admit I probably wouldn't have focused on. And as you talk about the science of it, I think that's interesting. And so all of a sudden I'm going, wait a minute, why didn't I think of that? So what sparked it for you to go down this path?
Well, when I started to see like a few new products popping up with floral ingredients, I mean, you just have to think about like, that's such a beautiful visual. I knew that the Alexa would really go for that because that's a easy piece to art in a really beautiful way. I mean, some publications don't care about the visual attached to a story, but Alexa absolutely does. So I just knew that that would be, you know, an easy sell to my editor there in terms of, but hey, I had to like come up with a legit story, and there were actual like bona fide like major manufacturers who were creating these flower products. So I don't know. I mean, there was just,
I want to say, I think it was Elizabeth Arden years ago had a face cleanser with all kinds of flower petals chopped up in the cleanser, if I remember the brand correctly. Now I'm dating myself. You're going back 20 years, and there it was aesthetically pleasing. But today's come a long way, like you said, with some of the stem cells from the roses or whatever.
Right. Peter Thomas Roth is doing a lot of work in that space with the rose stem cells. But like, Guerlain has had for years products with orchids in them, and those are great antioxidants, and lotus as well is another antioxidant. Chamomile can be really, Roman chamomile can be super, anti-inflammatory. So you just, you know, you're a product formulator. You know that you just really have to know what you're doing. You can't just pick an ingredient just because it is beautiful or sounds beautiful, or even, you know, has a great scent like rose.
True, but I like getting different insights. It's interesting with different guests on the show, the different insights they have to some ingredients, and sometimes they come across things I may not have even thought of or gone down the path of researching. So it really does intrigue me how, you know, you've come down some of these paths. We're going to run out of time in a minute, but real quick, where do you stand on clean versus chemical?
I'm really moving more toward clean. I never, ever thought that would happen because, like, I'm a big skincare nut, and I love retinol. You know, I just am a real skincare addict. But more and more, I'm just really swapping out some of the more chemicalized products that I have with clean beauty. And one category in particular, antiperspirants or deodorants, I never would use a commercial, like, chemicalized one again. I did a piece for the Wall Street Journal specifically on natural deodorants, and I'm never turning back. So I think it depends on the actual product category. But I'm definitely cherry picking. I haven't like completely stopped using chemicals.
I'm with you. In the beginning, I fought it, but then, you know, I have a long personal story. But bottom line is, after watching several friends and family members fight the battle of cancer, I did a lot of research and learned how important it is. And that's now everything I formulate, I do from a clean standpoint. And there are a lot of natural alternatives where you can use science and combine it with nature and get those results.
Exactly. I just did a huge piece for the Wall Street Journal about these burgeoning clean brands that are super science driven, like Goldfaden or even Tata Harper. I mean, there's real science behind these brands.
I love it. Well, we're going to have to get that link and put it on the website as well as for your website, floridabeautyproblems.com. Dana, I want to thank you for joining us. I'm David Pollack, your beauty guru. And if you have a question about beauty, do what the big brands do. Just ask David.
The preceding show was produced by the Gab Radio Network. For more information about the services we provide, visit GabRadioNetwork.com.